This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 101 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. I'm not an Eagles fan, but I'm super pumped. It's not because I'm this super anti-Patriots person either. No, I don't love the Patriots. I grew up in Pittsburgh. I graduated from Pitt. I'm a Yinzer. Ask anyone from Pittsburgh if they like the Patriots, and they'll call you a jagoff. As a football analyst, it's impossible to not have respect for what New England's done. Tom Brady is the GOAT. Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. That can't be denied. But I'm amped for two reasons. First, a little background on a story that happened during week 3 of the 2015 NFL season. If you listen to my other podcast, Living the Stream, then you know this story well. That week, week 3 of the 2015 season, I was very into Nick Foles as a top streaming quarterback. He was facing a bad Steelers secondary, the over-under of the game was high and increasing, and things were just generally falling into place for Nick Foles to have a decent game. And then weird things started happening. Like, the field caught on fire before the game started due to some fireworks issues, and things were delayed. I like to say that Foles would have been a QB1 that week had science not intervened. But I know that Nick Foles scored 8 fantasy points that day because he ended up not being a very good play. Since that point, though, Living the Stream listeners have hilariously referenced that week anytime something bad happens. Was it Nick Foles week 3 bad, though, they'll ask? Then this year happened. Not only did we correctly stream Nick Foles in that Giants game when Carson Wentz went down, but Nick bleeping Foles just won Super Bowl MVP. I feel like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders. Nick Foles has set me free. That's the first reason I'm celebrating today. The second reason, and the main reason that I'm recording this show, is because Super Bowl 52 was a huge win for football analytics. A storyline that didn't get a ton of love this year was the Eagles' use of analytics. A New York Times piece came out just last week that highlighted this really well, especially when speaking about Philadelphia's fourth down tendencies. In the article, Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie said, "He, as in Doug Peterson, can do whatever he chooses to do, but when you have the resource of data, why not? It's kind of a no-brainer." Yes, why not use data to enhance your probability of making the right choice? Because that's what analytics serve to do. They're not giving you the answers, they're enhancing your decision-making. And the same vibe was highlighted in the Las Vegas Review-Journal last week as well. That article says, "Peterson has built a reputation as a fearless play caller." And then he says, "Fearless or not, I trust my staff. There's a lot of collaboration that goes on during the games. It's not just me calling plays. There's a lot of conversation, a lot of dialogue that's behind the scenes that gives me confidence in some of the decisions that I make. Ultimately, they're my calls and my decisions. I take full responsibility there, but it's a team effort." Peterson actually has people in his ear during games helping him know when to go for it on fourth down, and he utilizes that information. The Eagles ran a passing play or a rushing play on fourth down 26 times during the regular season, which was second most only to the Packers. But what's most interesting is that they went for it on fourth 11 times during the first half of games, when the next closest teams went for it 8 times in the first half during the regular season. And on average, the Eagles had 2.73 yards to go on those fourth down plays. The 3 teams behind them averaged 2.09 yards to go. So not only were the Eagles going for it more frequently, but they had a longer distance to convert as well. Numbers people analyze fourth down decisions with win probability models. If the good outweighs the bad, then you go for it. If the bad outweighs the good, then you don't. Forget the results of the actual play. Going into a fourth down play, there's some win probability expectation associated with either going for it or not. If the win probability of going for it then outweighs the win probability of not, then you should go for it. And you shouldn't regret your decision if the result is bad. Part of the reason is because the result doesn't automatically mean good things happen for the team who stopped you. Because that's actually factored into a win probability model. The reason you're going for it in the first place is because, again, the good outweighs the bad. You're not going for it on 4th and 11 from your own 6-yard line just because you want to be aggressive. And that Las Vegas Journal Review article highlighted something really interesting as it pertains to this. The article said, "This season, the Eagles converted 65.4% of 4th down attempts, 3rd best in the NFL, and 1st among teams with more than 15 attempts. They finished 17 of 26 overall. One of those 9 failed fourth downs ended a game. On the other 8 that led to an opponent drive, Philadelphia allowed 0 points." This isn't to say that anytime you go for it on fourth down in a plus win probability situation and fail, that your team is automatically going to thrive defensively. It just helps show that a bad result on the fourth down play itself doesn't have to lead to disaster. Now, of course, the reason I'm bringing the fourth down plays up is because the Eagles' Super Bowl win over the Patriots on Sunday night sort of came down to two crucial fourth down plays. At the end of the first half, the Eagles faced a fourth and goal on the one. At the time, they were only up by a field goal. Traditionally, you'd watch a coach trot his special teams unit onto the field in order to attempt a field goal. The Eagles did not do that, though. Instead, they ran a trick play that saw Trey Burton toss the rock to a wide-open Nick Foles in the end zone. The result was a touchdown. And all you heard before the play was Chris Collinsworth talk about how ballsy that decision was. Collinsworth was acting like he had just seen a unicorn. He was having an out-of-body experience because the Eagles went for it on fourth down from the opponent's one-yard line. Now, I agree, that play call was ballsy. A fourth down in the Super Bowl is coming down to a pass from your tight end to your quarterback. I don't care if Trey Burton has had experience as a quarterback. That's ballsy. But the decision to go for it wasn't. According to the great Brian Burke over at ESPN, the decision itself was a plus 3.4% win probability added. Meaning, the win probability for the Eagles, had they attempted the field goal, was a very, very nice 69.3%. Going for it, though, generated a win probability of 72.7%. Burke also added that Philadelphia needed a 41% chance of success to make it worth the risk, and the league average there is 57%. And given the matchup and the fact that the Eagles can move the ball offensively, you'd have to imagine their individual rate of success is higher than the league's average. That decision was a mathematical decision. The second fourth down call came with fewer than 6 minutes left to go in the game. The Eagles were on their own 45, again facing a fourth and one, and they were down by a point. With all of their timeouts remaining, most teams would have punted the ball in order to pin the opposition back and try to force a three and out. Or even with a first down or two, the Eagles could still have a shot to get the ball back. But what did Doug Peterson do? He listened. Here's another snippet from that Las Vegas Review-Journal article. It says, Peterson is instrumental to the offense's fourth down success rate. One example is communication. Eagles coaches proactively consider whether to attempt a fourth down conversion, their discussion beginning before a third down play, such as the Wentz incompletion preceding the Jeffrey touchdown on December 10th, or well prior to that. There are instances around the NFL when a head coach, indecisive on fourth down, must burn a timeout. And we know exactly what that author is talking about. We see coaches all the time hesitate to make a fourth down call, and then they burn a timeout. The Eagles did not hesitate. They didn't call a timeout before that fourth down play. They were ready, and they went for it, and they converted. Again, this isn't about the result. According to Brian Burke, the chance itself of going for it on that fourth and one play increased the win probability by 7.3%. Brian noted that they needed at least a 39% chance of success to make the risk worthwhile, and the league average there is over 65%. Once again, you had people everywhere commenting about the boldness and the gutsiness of that call, but once again, it was the mathematically right choice to make. The Eagles then went on to score the game-winning touchdown on that drive. In-game decision-making isn't the only place where the Eagles used analytics this year, too. Defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz is known for utilizing numbers with his preparation. An article on Philly.com highlighted this and provided a quick example, noting that each week there's a PowerPoint presentation on how many possible plays an offense can run based on time, number of timeouts, and a kicker's maximum field goal length. And there was a great quote from Jalen Watkins in the article too. The article states, Watkins said that Schwartz's heat charts are valuable tools. The color-coded graphics may show a quarterback's tendencies in his drops by step or distance. There are also heat charts for quarterback's throwing propensities. And then Watkins was quoted and he said, you can literally look at the chart and all the deep balls are to the right side. And then you go and watch film and you're like, shoot. And then you go and you play the game and you get deep balls on the right side. Again, analytics aren't there to make decisions for you, and Jim Schwartz has noted in the past that players need to execute first and foremost, but analytics can provide more context and more information in order to be more prepared to actually execute. That's really the important part with all of this, you guys. I can't stress this enough. Anyone who works in analytics is not touting analytics as some cure to everything that's wrong with the league. It's not some key that unlocks everything and allows teams to become flawless. Last week, former Browns president Mike Holmgren came out and said that new Browns GM John Dorsey will get it going, and that he wants, quote, no more analytics, Jiminy Christmas. I can tell you this much, anyone who says Jiminy Christmas probably hates analytics. Teams are using analytics, numbers are being implemented into process all over the league, and it's my belief that the old school Mike Holmgren-like thinkers think the way that they do because they're afraid. They're scared because they don't understand. They don't see the benefit of numbers in a game like football because the game of football isn't like baseball. You have more matchups. You have more things that can't be measured in a game like football. And that's not wrong, but to assume that you, a coach, a front office person, a play caller, whoever, to assume that you know when to go for it at all times, to assume that you know something like opposing offensive deep ball tendencies simply because your eyes are watching film, to assume that you can only gain an edge through the film room is so unbelievably arrogant, it makes me sick. You know, each week, hundreds of football analysts dissect games and try to predict what's going to happen in a given contest. And so often, analysts get things wrong. But I've gotten to the point where I'm convinced the reason analysts are getting things wrong isn't just because of an error from the analysts. It's because coaches aren't fully utilizing the information that's out there. I've talked through this before, but Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, is probably the greatest coach of all time, partially because his competition is horrible. I'm taking nothing away from Bill Belichick here, you guys. The man is a football genius. But he also is the one coach where you can break down a game as an analyst and feel confident that his team will attack a team in that manner. Because he's always looked at everything. The Patriots are a data-driven team as well. The Titans playoff game comes to mind immediately. Tennessee was dreadful against the pass this year, and they were specifically horrendous against pass-catching running backs. So what did New England do? In a game that got away from Tennessee fairly early, New England threw the ball over and over and over again, and the team's running backs accounted for a large receiving share of the team's offense. They exploited a matchup that was written about by tons of smart analysts who look at the game. And I get it, it's a lot easier to sit in your mom's basement and blog about what a team should or shouldn't do in order to win than it is to actually game plan and coach a team. I'm confident that I can break down team strengths and weaknesses, but I can't coach a football team. I wouldn't be able to actually game plan like coaches do. I don't have experience doing that. But I think that I and all of you have the right to criticize. And that's especially true when coaches and front office people are openly bashing something that clearly, quite obviously, can give you some sort of edge and advantage. The reason this year's Super Bowl was so awesome was because you had two incredible coaches and coaching staffs going at it. Sure, the defense was lacking, which made for a more exciting game overall. But it was one game where someone could write up a preview, and as long as that preview was logical, it was probably right. Because you actually had logical, thoughtful, open-minded coaching staffs managing that game. The Eagles won the Super Bowl. To all the Eagles fans listening to this, congratulations. You most definitely deserve this. And analytics won the Super Bowl too. Let's hope the close-minded front offices and coaching staffs now realize it. Thanks to everyone for listening to today's episode. I hope that you were able to take something away from it. If you've yet to subscribe to this show, do so by going to Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher. And if you're on iTunes, do me a favor and leave a rating and review. It's a great way to give back to this podcast. Take it easy, everyone.